and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Don't be put off by our collection of mince pies in the centre of the table there, Susie.
Oh, you had a tasting test.
You can have one of them. Have you got a mince pie that you... we've got our own views on mince pie quality. Have you got one in particular that you like?
I think people may look down on me because I like the pastry more than the mincemeat. Mincemeat's a bit sweet for me.
So what do you do? Do you take the
pastry?
Do you? And then leave the mincemeat?
Just a little bit.
Well, you could tell
sacrilege, isn't it?
Susie's been round, little piles of mincemeat everywhere. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we're not here to talk about mince pies, although we can chat more about that later on. Susie Dent, welcome to Home Time on Absolute Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk about your brilliant new book, The Roots We Share, 100 Words That Bring Us Together. Really interesting title, given what's been going on in the world at the moment. It's important to note that we are all united by language, and sometimes it's the interpretation of language that gets us into trouble, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, it can be a weapon, as we know. But there are so many positive words in the dictionary that just get overlooked. And I think what we really wanted to remind children of, because essentially this is aimed at children and adults who might like to read to children and maybe a few adults themselves, but it is a reminder that despite everything that they may be feeling or hearing, there's so much more that does unite us out there than anything else. And we just need to remember, whether it's music, whether it's pets, whether it's food, whether it's friendship, whether it's nature, there's just so much out there where that positivity is lurking. Not lurking, hiding.
Yeah, hiding's a much nicer word.
Talking about children, I was on the school run this morning, driving to school and doing a little test on my seven-year-old for his spelling test today.
Aww.
Got 5 out of 5.
Good.
Would your school teachers be surprised at your love of words and language, or was that something that was identified at a young age?
Very good question. I think had I become a physicist, they would have been flabbergasted. That was not my my forte. But no, I don't think they would have been surprised. I was very geeky and nerdy. In fact, I was reminded we were doing a recording of Eitash and Katsura's Countdown the other day, and there was a lot of noise in the studio. We hadn't started, and the child in me came out. Just, can everyone just sit down, is what I wanted to say, because I just wanted quiet where I could study my books. And I was a SWAT. I mean, nerds and geeks have come a long way. I feel like SWATs have sort of stayed back in the 70s where I was. It's a variant on sweat, so it's never going to end well. But they wouldn't have been surprised. I loved words. I particularly loved German. That was my German teacher, I think, would probably remember how much I adored the language that she was teaching us. That was my first love. And English came, as in terms of origins and things, came quite a lot later.
Mm. Let's talk about, we'll talk about Countdown, but 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown.
Yes.
Obviously, I imagine we only see a tiny portion of what goes out, of what happens on the day. In terms of the comedians that are there, I always feel bad for you guys. It's almost like some people have broken into your flat after a student party and won't leave. Who messes around the most? Who's the most unruly of the people on 8 out of 10? 10 cats.
That's a really good question. So the people who you would expect, like Joe Wilkinson, he's such a gent.
Yeah.
They're all just, they're all quite, not reserved, but sort of, they're
respectful.
Respectful, yes, off camera. Rob Beckett, I think he can be up to a few antics, but for the most part,
that doesn't surprise either of us.
Nope.
For the most part, John's quite quietly spoken. I think he's a thinker. He thinks a lot.
He sits in this seat every Saturday morning here on Absolute Radio.
There you go.
And he's a lovely chap, isn't he? He's a very well-behaved chap.
He is lovely. And he knows a lot as well. He reads really widely and things. So, there aren't that many people who your parents wouldn't want at your party, I feel, in their natural state.
Very diplomatic.
Yeah. We've spoken a lot about words. Let's talk about a number. 30 years on Countdown now.
Yes.
34
and counting.
Wow.
A lot of hosts a fantasy question here. So I'm considering, for this fantasy question, I'm considering Richard Whiteley, Des Lynam, Des O'Connor, Jeff Stelling, Nick Hewer, Anne Robinson, and Colin Murray. So out of those...
Please don't ask me. This is not going to be a fair question.
I'm going to ask it. You don't have to answer it. Who would get the best score if there was a fantasy series where the hosts faced each other?
Oh, okay.
Obviously speculating here, but you are the best person to ask that to.
That is actually quite hard. I think it would probably be Colin Murray.
Mm-hmm. Because you currently are working with him and it would be awkward.
No, no, no. He is so competitive, I can't tell you. He's the most competitive. He and Rachel are actually both incredibly competitive people. And I'm not. So all the sort of quiz shows and things that they do, they ace every single one of them. They're just... And Colin actually keeps a score sheet. He is playing the game every single time. And it's actually lovely because he will say to a contestant that hasn't won a particular round, don't worry, that's what I got as well. I only got a 5 or whatever. So it's actually a really nice thing. But yeah, he keeps score the entire time. He's so competitive. I think it would probably be him.
Right. And then, you know, on the way here on the train, I discovered that you did the incredible Susie Dent's Guide to Swearing.
I did.
We have a bleep button here on the Home Time Show. Have you got a favourite swear word?
Yes. Bollocks.
That could be your review of this radio show. That's absolutely fine. It's a good one.
Yes, it's a good one. And I like it for lots of different reasons because it's had such a... I hate to use the word journey because a lot of people don't like it, but it has had such a journey.
Are you saying bollocks has been on a journey?
Yes.
Okay.
And I at least used it in the singular rather than they have been on a journey. But they always say they were entirely neutral descriptions of testicles, nothing wrong with them at all. Then they actually were a term of endearment for quite a long time. So men to men, you might say, my sweet bollocks, come to the tavern with me.
Mm-hmm. We'll start the next show with that. That's incredible.
And then it became the kind of multi-purpose exclamation of, anger, frustration, stress or whatever. And then, of course, I don't know how many times you're going to bleep this, you have the dog's bollocks, which is the sort of best of all. Mm. So it's just, I find that absolutely fascinating. And I also, David O'Doherty, who's often on Cats Does Countdown, he says it's the most satisfying of the swear words to say.
And it really is.
I think it is.
That's what I was kind of, because you got the buh, you got the love, you got the kuh.
Yes.
It's a good one to get
it
out.
Is. Yeah. It is.
So it's been on a real journey. Bollocks have been on a journey.
Yes.
This could be a bit of dud information, but I found out that you are a fellow Arsenal fan.
Yes.
So what one word would you use to describe where you feel Arsenal's chances are for the rest of this season?
Why do we interview Arsenal fans every week on this radio show?
Because we're all coming out the woodwork again. Yeah.
I would like to say that we all have nycadonia, which is a word meaning an anticipation of success.
Love that.
I'd love that. But at the moment...
What's the definition of like choke? Is there an old word for that as well?
At the moment, I would say we're all a bit betwittered, aren't we? Just sort of overcome with nervous excitement.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean... It's at this time of year that things tend to go pear-shaped. But I do have faith. I do have faith.
Good.
I think they're an amazing team. I think we're in a really strong position and we have to be optimistic, don't we? Not like that. Don't need to look at me.
No.
We have to be optimistic.
We do.
Yes. I don't need a word for Everton Football Club. Thank you very much. It's the hope that
we
kills
did it
you.
Earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, with the B. Thank you, guys. Can I just say I loved dictionaries when I was a kid.
Good.
Physically, like the physical dictionary.
Yes.
So for me, it was like there was the Pocket Rocket Mini Collins Gem.
Yes.
And then there was a massive one that was like a hardback, like a wizard's book. It had pages a bit like the Bible.
Yes.
You know, there's something about looking up stuff that kind of felt good. Am I right in thinking that that's a thing that doesn't really happen anymore now, and that's a sad thing? And do you have a favourite kind of dictionary that has a special place in your heart that you have maybe at home or something like that?
So the dictionary that has the biggest space in my heart, it will always be the Oxford English Dictionary. So the Oxford English Dictionary. So people tend to think that that is all Oxford dictionaries, but actually it is the mother of all dictionaries, genuinely. It is a historical dictionary, so it will give you the very first meaning of a word such as the one we just talked about, mm-hmm. right through to the present day, and it's ongoing, so it's not finishing. It is mostly online, but in print, it's 20 volumes.
Wow. Oh, my word. Wow.
And you can actually get a shorter, compact version with a magnifying glass, which I love.
That's so satisfying.
I think it would be that one. Yes, I do miss printed dictionaries, but I still find online that you can follow footsteps, because it will still tell you what entry comes next, and and you can click on links so that you get to see the family that a word belongs to. So there's a lot of advantages being online.
Very quickly, do you ever read the Profanisaurus in Viz?
Oh, I'm always asked this. Yes, I have a copy of that particular volume.
That's the best thing I heard all year. Amazing.
We talk about dictionaries. Your book's going to be a fantastic gift opportunity, I would say, leading up to Christmas. When we speak of Christmas, obviously, Scrabble, a classic game.
Yes.
Would you need to have a dictionary by your side when playing Scrabble, or do you feel if someone put down a set of tiles that you're thinking, no, I'm not having that? Are you able to play with the confidence of not having a dictionary next to you?
Yes, but I would say I don't play Scrabble as much as people expect, because it's a very different word list to the one we use on Countdown. Because Countdown obviously is all about the longest word that you can find. Scrabble, it can be short but really punchy. So I tend not to play it as much. So for the short words, I would need a word list, because I'm not acquainted with all of them. But I think for the really obscure words, I'd probably be okay, because that's where I spend my life. And it's a brilliant game. Boggle is another favourite. And
would you have a favourite sort of like word-based parlour game?
Bananagrams.
Bananagrams is brilliant. Mm. I have a word game app actually called Two Words, which I like, which is sort of where you can riff off your opponent's words, which is quite fun. But that's only online. I think for board games, either Bananagrams or Boggle.
Did you get involved with the Wordle thing? That
I did. But
you're sick of it now, like everyone else, right?
Yeah, it's kind of waned a bit. But I have tried recently. The thing is, it's because it's changed platform. I don't know about you, but I lost my stats overnight. Having said I'm not remotely competitive, it was a bit of a loss.
Write it down like Colin.
It was a bit of a loss. It's so simple, that game. And, that's its beauty, I think. So.
You mentioned Countdown again, obviously, just then. And as Richie said, 34 years,
yeah.
Countdown, which is an amazing thing. What one behind-the-scenes thing about Countdown would surprise people who watch it, that are listening to this right now? That's not quite as glamorous as you think.
Yes. Every single guest and every single contestant thinks that there is a magic button that will turn round instantly the letters to become the numbers board. But no, we have three burly props men come in, literally lift it up and swivel it round.
What's that we see then? Is that magic, or do you time-lapse this? Or?
No, we don't time-lapse. No, we pretty much do it as live, but it's because the cameras aren't on it when it's happening. So there is a brief pause. There's 20 seconds or something. And so it is still really smooth, but we don't have, it's not automatic.
Is there a bloke doing the clock then?
No bloke doing the clock. There was, used to be one who would turn the conundrum round, literally on a crank. But now that is digital.
Imagine you're that bloke and someone asks you in the pub, what do you do at the weekend? You're not going to believe this.
I've never worked out why the clock doesn't sort of like go like a semicircle. Like you've got an entire... half of the clock that's never used.
I know, but I think that's one of the beauties, because we're always asked this. What can I say? I mean, I don't think we should give contestants a minute. I think that would...
No.
It's a long time in the world of a quiz, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm reading a book at the moment about the Anglo-Saxons, Anglo-Saxon Britain. And whenever I read or hear old language such as like thy or thou and all that kind of stuff, I always think, damn, it'd be great if that made a comeback. Is there any like old words that you'd love to see... come back into the modern language?
Do I have? I have a whole list of what I call singletons in the dictionary, which are words that, because it's the Oxford English Dictionary, will never go out, because once they go in, they're there forever. It's a permanent record. So they're a little bit more careful about what they put in. But there are some that were mentioned in a dictionary in 1623 that are mentioned only once and just disappeared. We've got no other records of them until now, because people are starting to bring them back. One I'm always talking about is apricity, which is the warmth of the sun on a winter's day, which is just beautiful.
That's a lovely word.
Another
isn't it?
Is respair, which is fresh hope and a recovery from despair. So it's all the positives that we lose. And another one I love is from an old dialect dictionary, and it's from Yorkshire, and it's crambazzled. I think we might need this at Christmas time. It's looking in the mirror and finding yourself prematurely aged from excess drinking.
I think I might have been crambazzled this morning. And that is incredible. And speaking of this whole, you know, these brilliant words that, you know, you've dug up from the past, but we should definitely bring back. We do a feature on this show called Find a Word For, where we get our audience to suggest words or phrases for things or behaviours that don't currently have a word or a phrase.
This is what my Radio 4 show with Phil Wang is all about.
Oh, really?
It's unspeakable. Yeah, people need to fill a gap. It's such a good...
But there are loads of scenarios now in modern life that we don't have a word for. So we've brought the feature back in honour of yourself being here, Susie. And Richie's going to give you the scenario that we've got on the show tonight.
We would like people to find a word for, and maybe you could help us start off.
Okay.
Find a word for the period where family and friends are starting to overstay their welcome.
Yes, there is a word for this. Am I going to remember it? I'm trying to remember what language it's from. Oh, this is really annoying. Talk amongst yourselves, guys.
Well, Richard, we've got a couple of suggestions knocking around.
Suggestions. Okay. So obviously, etymology, I believe, is obviously like, you know, the development and the history of where
language,
words
yes.
come from.
Yes.
So you've got the word limbo.
Yes.
A bit of a sound alike. I've gone with please go.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Hit the please go.
Yeah. I can't remember that. I think there's a word which is to do with fish because guests go off like fish. but I will give you a word that people always seem to enjoy at this time of year, and it's a bit grinchy, but I think we all feel it at some point.
You're on the right show for
it. Panthropy. And a panthropy is the desire to be away from other people.
I love it.
Yes.
Panthropy.
A panthropy.
A
so
panthropy.
The a is a prefix meaning without. Pan means everything, and thropy is sort of people. So without anybody.
Do you know, we're in an office full of young people here at the radio station. Richie and I regularly have our own little a panthropy.
Yes, we really are do. A panthropist.
Sometimes just sit in the loo. well, listen, the new book looks amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I loved it.
Really appreciate it. The Roots We Share, 100 Words. Words that bring us together, an amazing Christmas gift. Susie Dent, thank you.
Thank you,
Susie.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.